Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
I'm recapping Cubs, White Sox, and talking a little Blackhawks here on your weekend recap. It's a Monday mouthful right here with Sports Talk Chicago. I am Joey Christopoulos. What's going on, everybody? Make sure you like this video. Make sure you subscribe to our channel. Hit the notification button. Follow us on socials at Sports Talk Chi. Follow me personally at Joey Sports Guy. I'm giving you a quick weekend recap in case you missed some of the action over the weekend. And here's the good part about these Monday recaps is that these are not made for radio, so I get to curse on these. So let's fucking rock and roll, because I'm a little fired up about the Chicago Cubs. That's where we're going to start, first of all. It is March 31st when I'm taping this, and we're already fucking talking about the bullpen. Okay, the Chicago Cubs had this series in the palm of their hand. Now, to be very, very fair, the Arizona Diamondbacks, they are going to be a good team this year. They have a very potent offense. Chicago Cubs, to that point, had held them at bay, had held them with runners in scoring position, had done a pretty good job, and then the ceiling caved in. And I've got some questions regarding their 10-6 loss yesterday when they gave up 8 runs in the 8th inning, blowing a 6-2 lead and triggering a lot of PTSD of the bullpen woes of last year with a lot of Chicago Cubs fans. So let's begin here. First of all, got to do credit where credit's due. Matthew Boyd, we're going to do a little hot and cold. I'm going to give him a little bit of a hot start. 5 shutout innings. Guy walked 3 guys, but that curveball, that looked really good. The one that was bending at the back of the leg on the right-handed hitters. So far, so good on that front. If that thing isn't going, I think that dude's going to get roughed up. But in that particular start, he looked pretty decent. Chicago Cubs, they take a 3-2 lead. Then all of a sudden, Kyle Tucker hits a 3-run bomb, 6-2. For those of you just getting inundated with Kyle Tucker now, the dude is a legit superstar. He is a cut above. He is the type of offense that you dream about, Cubs fans. And he's going to be there all season long as he stays healthy, right in the middle of that lineup, which still, in my opinion, looks a little light, but did have a good weekend drawing some walks, moving the bases, running the bases, doing all that good stuff. That they're going to be that speedy, little versatile team that is somehow in vogue right now in baseball. When honestly, what, 5 of the guys in the lineup might not even hit 20 home runs. I digress. Back to the bullpen. They're up 6-2. They bring in Cole Theobar, who, left-handed pitcher, to his credit, had some control issues, but then got some guys on base and then had a fantastic at-bat coming back from being behind in the count to strike out Eugenio Suarez, a guy who has been absolutely torching the Chicago Cubs all weekend. And if you guys remember, with him being on the Cincinnati Reds, has been torching Chicago Cubs for what, 4, 5, 6 years, last year, 6 years of his career. We just missed him for a year because he was in Seattle for a brief stint. Came out, got the strikeout. This is where it starts to really bug me. Craig Counsell then brings him back out for another inning. After that high-ramped, high-leverage situation, he finally gets out of it. He lets him kind of cool down and then come back out for the inning afterwards. Why? I don't know. Theobar walks 2 more guys, and then they bring in Eli Morgan in a dirty inning, in the 8th inning of games. Now, here's what I'm going to say. It's March 31st, so I want to be really, really careful about this. But Eli Morgan, just so all Cubs fans understand, he pitched really well in the playoffs last year for Cleveland against the Detroit Tigers. Can't take it away from him. I think he is a quality arm. But he is not an 8th inning pitcher. He is a changeup artist. He is a fucking party magician, okay? He shows up, he does a couple of tricks, and he gets out of it. He is not meant for high leverage situations. If you look at the back of his baseball card, last year he only pitched 4 innings in the 8th inning. He only pitched 10 innings in the 8th inning in 2023. That's 14 total innings over the last 2 years, and now he's pitching in this 8th inning. You're asking yourself why. Well, first of all, I can easily counter that argument by saying, well, Craig Counsell, they're up by 4 runs. It's a pretty good pad of a lead. Maybe you can get 3 outs and get out of it. I totally understand that. But when Eli Morgan starts getting destroyed and starts getting lit up, comes into a dirty inning. So two runners are already on base. That four-run lead all of a sudden turns into a high-leverage situation. You bring in a party magician who's throwing changeups. He starts getting knocked around the park. So what is it? What is the deal with the Chicago Cubs bullpen already? A bullpen that, look, Jed Hoyer and Craig Counsell told you that they improved the depth. They brought in new faces. They changed the whole cast from last year's season, and I think that was something all Chicago Cubs fans wanted. So why are they bringing up a changeup heavy pitcher in the eighth inning? Well, according to Craig Counsell after the game, Ryan Pressly, who was used two times the last 3 days, I totally buy that one, and didn't look very good on Saturday. He was unavailable. Porter Hodge pitched 2 out of 3 days, says that he wasn't available. And then Julian Merriweather, a guy who does throw gas, a guy who I think is going to have a bounce back season, was not available in the game because Craig Counsell told the press after this loss that Julian Merriweather had warmed up on Friday, had warmed up on Saturday. Keep in mind, Cubs fans, did not pitch in either of those games. But because he warmed up on Friday and Saturday, he was no longer available on Sunday. It's March 31st, and we've already screwed up the bullpen order in the first series of the season. I get it, we're all allowed some bumps in the road, but $40 million for Craig Counsell to screw up this thing, to screw up the bullpen on the first weekend? Where is Brad Keller in this situation? Eventually, they did bring Colin Ray in after they scored 8 runs in the inning. Where was Colin Ray? Were they trying to protect him for tonight's start with the A's because Ben Brown isn't a guy that necessarily goes deep into games? So already, 6 games into the season, the Chicago Cubs are being tested at their pitching depth. They got a guy in Matthew Boyd who, let's be honest, is probably not a guy that's going to go pitching, that's not going to go deep into games. He's probably not going to throw 6 or 7 innings every single time out there. I don't think they feel the same about Ben Brown either because he is going to be on an innings limit. So already they're trying to massage and prepare for these types of starts from certain players while also manipulating and honestly compromising sections of this bullpen. Now, moving forward, to be very fair, I think Ryan Brazier, when he comes off the IL, I think he's going to be that eighth inning guy. But Brad Keller, veteran, can I see it? We don't have to have the dude throwing balloon animals trying to trick you and disguise you by throwing all these changeups in Eli Morgan. That dude is a fifth inning, sixth inning, seventh inning guy at best. He does not belong in the eighth inning. And to be quite frank, we should protect him against powerful lineups like the Arizona Diamondbacks. Just watching it made me just yearn for those 2007 to 2010 times of Carlos Marmol as a setup man. And that's what's so funny, Chicago Cubs fans. If you think back, we actually have in our history, in our memory lexicon, what elite setup man relief material is like, and it came from Carlos Marmol. And ask yourself the question, I know it's early on in the season. We'll see how it goes. I think some of these guys are going to be all right. But do we have anyone with the nasty stuff, with the talent that Carlos Marmol has? Maybe Porter Hodge? It's probably it. And my preseason prediction that Porter Hodge will eventually be the closer for the Chicago Cubs, off to a pretty good start. Ryan Pressly, I'm not saying that he's bad, but I am saying that the stuff doesn't quite play as a ninth inning type of stuff needs to play. It reminds me a lot of a Wade Davis where he's going to have to get by on some grit and some guile and cross our fingers and hope to God that it works out. And so far, Presley's just allowing too much traffic on the base paths. It's pretty simple. The other one, when you want to talk about stuff, a guy that they want to believe in is Nate Pearson. They've used him multiple times over the weekend. Both times, the results just simply weren't there. Another rough outing yesterday, 2 walks, 2 runs. The part that really gets you going and makes you really think, is this going to work out? 0 strikeouts yesterday. This guy pumps 99 miles an hour across the plate, but there's no movement on it. So 0 strikeouts, can't find home plate, gives up 2 runs. Nate Pearson already, another bad outing or two later, might be a guy that's out of the mix of the bullpen situation. Maybe a guy that they were hoping could be a bridge guy early on in the season. So a lot to figure out right here, and this is what Craig Counsell was brought in to do, to manipulate and create these situations that can help protect leads, because there's no reason why the Cubs shouldn't be 3-3 right now heading into a series against the Sacramento A's starting Monday night at their minor league stadium. You want to throw some salt on that wound. In general, not a big fan of the internet. I think it's especially social media. Social media is definitely kind of a shithole, and the internet, well, you know, you can find all sorts of information. But what's nice about the internet at times like this is it no longer can protect billionaires when they're straight up lying to your face. Over the weekend, they released the 2024 revenue, the earnings revenue for each major league team, while also putting alongside it the amount of payroll that they invested and the percentage of how much a team earns in revenue and the percentage of how much they put it back into the product on the field. Now, before I get into this, of course, you have to keep in mind, obviously, when we talk about expenses of running a Major League Baseball organization, specifically when we talk about the Cubs, not every single penny can necessarily go back to the product on the field. You've got a beautiful ballpark, Sloan Park in Arizona. You've got all your minor leagues. You've got international money. You're not just spending it all on players. You're spending it on staff. You're spending it on coaching. You're spending it on, to be honest, great public relations that go throughout Wrigley. On and on and on. There's a lot of money to be spent. But ask yourself a question before you understand the number. How much of the percentage of that revenue do you think should be going back into the product on the field, which, my opinion, is the most important thing you could honestly spend your money on when you're talking about running a franchise? So, the Chicago Cubs came in third place last year. They earned $584 million in revenue, only behind the Yankees and only behind the Dodgers. Both of them earned over $700 million. The Chicago Cubs earned $584 million in payroll, half a billion dollars. Last year, their payroll, and it's lower this year, they invested $213 million back into the on-field product, excuse me. Do the math. That's 36.4%. How does that rank among Major League Baseball? 26th. At the bottom of taking the money that they earn and putting it back into the product on the field. 26th. And if you want more context for this, here are some of the teams that were right next to them. Right in front of them, the Cleveland Guardians. Right behind them, the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Tampa Bay Rays. For reference, the Chicago White Sox were 29th, or, you know, the third lowest in terms of the percentage of revenue and putting it back into the ball club. So here's the thing. What's great about this is it's shining a light on all the bullshit that certain billionaires in this town try and feed you about maybe breaking even or biblical losses, or maybe still bringing up the fact a decade later how much money they spent on the neighborhood, which, oh, by the way, has been largely completed for quite some time and has been earning profits every single year. So when they tell you that they're doing the best that they can, it really is a matter of optics, right? Of course, the Chicago Cubs spend money. They spent $213 million on their payroll last year, definitely a top 10 payroll. But when you compare it with how much money that they earn, and when you compare it with, look, you could say what you want about the Los Angeles Dodgers and how they spend their money, but the amount of money, they earned $700 million. Guess how much they put back into their on-field product? 73% of it. So what they earn, they're putting back into the talent on the field. Chicago Cubs fans, just ask yourself a simple question. Do you feel like that you deserve that same type of treatment? And do you feel like that this type of ownership is giving it to you right now? I would say that they're not. And it's a problem because not so much of trying to tell someone what to do with their money, it's the way that ownership then describes the struggles that they have in regards to financing and payroll and paying certain players. They still do not have a $200 million contract in Chicago Cubs history. Kyle Tucker, who's already off to a great start, is going to be asking for a $300 or $400 million contract towards season's end. is ownership going to tell you that they can't afford it? When there's information like this out there that the Chicago Cubs probably are going to earn another $500 million this year? And can the owner get away with the PR spin of saying, well, we're just trying to break even? It's information like this that is important to call bullshit when stuff like this happens. And unfortunately, I've been talking about it for several years. And unfortunately, not to get too far ahead of myself, my biggest worry is that ownership of the Chicago Cubs, the family, is just waiting because they are going to be on the front lines of wanting a salary cap when work stoppage happens in a year. There's going to be a huge strike in Major League Baseball because once there is a salary cap, they can just spend the exact amount of money every single year while increasing profit margins year after year after year. And this is another rant on itself, but the biggest problem I feel like with some of this uber wealth that's going on right now is there is a competition in that club that it isn't just good enough to make a record profit margin. It's then to meet it and exceed it every single year. If you made $68 million 1 year, it is unacceptable to make $66 million the next year. You have to keep increasing, increasing. And what do? You cut costs another way and it affects fans like me and you. Rant over about the Chicago Cubs. Let's hit some Chicago White Sox just super quickly. White Sox lost 2-3 to the Los Angeles Angels. The offense is kind of what you expect, except seeing some nice little surprises. You saw Austin Slater, Nick Matone, Lenin Sosa, Andrew Benintendi all went yard over the weekend. Luis Robert got a couple of hits. I do like what I see from Miguel Vargas right now. He is definitely a player to watch on the Chicago White Sox, a guy who I don't think is going to be traded, a guy that I think could possibly lead the White Sox in home runs. Not saying much, but a dude that was long forgotten in the Michael Kopech trade last year, I think he could have a bounce back and maybe become a solid player that might stick around for a few years. In regards on the bright side for the Chicago White Sox, starting pitching looked good. Sean Burke, 6 innings, no runs, 3 hits, 3 Ks. Jonathan Cannon, 5 innings pitched, no runs, 4 hits, 5 Ks. Davis Martin, 6 innings pitched, 2 runs, none of them earned, 4 hits, 2 Ks. That's 17 innings, 0 runs allowed for a starting pitching staff. Now, to be very fair, if you miss the game or the games, the Angels lineup is dog shit. It's awful. It's terrible. It probably would rival the Chicago White Sox, except they have a surefire future Hall of Famer in that lineup with Mike Trout. And I would maybe give also the edge to Jorge Soler too as well. So their lineup is just maybe a tick above the Chicago White Sox. It's pretty terrible, but still you got to play the games. And so far, so good for the first 3 guys in the rotation for the Sox starters. And really, that's going to be one of my main keys of trying to get some sort of optimism out of this season, is hopefully that we find a couple of starters that we can roll with and just find the scant traces of a foundation, maybe through starting pitching with the Chicago White Sox. Finally, just before we get out of here, I just want to throw this out. Shout out to the Chicago Blackhawks. Really cool over the weekend that the Chicago Blackhawks had 6 first-rounders on the ice together. That's right, 6 first-rounders. So since 2022, with Kyle Davidson's drafts, 6 of those picks made in the first round are all getting ice time at the NHL level. And that's not even counting young guys like Alex Vlasic and others. But Kevin Korchinski, Sam Renzel, Oliver Moore, Connor Bedard, of course, Artem Lezhinov, and Frank Nazar all are playing together right now on this team. And look, the Chicago Blackhawks continue to lose games, but couple that mix with guys like Vlasic, hopefully, I mean, look, Donato's having a great season. Let's see what the number comes out at. But Ryan Donato, maybe he can be in the mix moving forward. But you have other guys like Slagger. You've got a young goalie in Spencer Knight. Maybe he can turn into the goalie of the future. They're going to lose some games, but this is a core right now that is trying to learn together, and it is incredibly young core. And to be very fair, guys like Lezhinov, Frank Nazar, they're doing good things on the ice. It's not equating into long stretches of positive hockey, or it's not even going to turn into wins right now, but the fact that they're all getting ice time together, I find it intriguing. I mean, all of a sudden, the Chicago Blackhawks are top 5 in youngest rosters in the NHL. That's kind of what you want to see. Let's get these guys a ton of ice time. Let's see if they can handle it. Let's see if they can mature and develop and then make some decisions. But I'm glad to see them calling up the kids, playing them, all playing together, 6 first-rounders on the ice at the same time. I can't say thumbs up or thumbs down in terms of the actual direction of the team, but it is a good sign to see, and I am personally on board with it as a Blackhawks fan, and hopefully a Blackhawks fan that's actually going to be watching winning hockey in the next couple of years. That's going to do it. This is Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos, coming back with the full episode, radio style this week, probably talking a lot of Chicago Cubs, maybe talk a little Chicago Bears too as well, because the NFL draft, as we roll over to April, it's just at the end of the month, so stick around. Make sure you like this video. Make sure you comment and subscribe. And also, keep in mind, we're also running my series. We're going to release them one at a time. I am doing my top 10 Chicago sports villains of all time. We just released number 10, the Minnesota Twins. Tune in to see who number 9 will be. Thanks for checking it out. I'm Joey Christopoulos. This was Sports Talk Chicago. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500 MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.